Blog Talk Radio. Lord Sonny.
And drinking that wine. Remember the schoolyard days?
Yeah. We had to take you home, man. You were out on it, man.
Better, better day. Lord have mercy.
Hey, but listen.
Yeah.
Remember when we used to run around there?
Steal a hubcap off the car.
What you talking about? His batteries?
We lucky we didn't get busted, man.
Listen. And I say, here comes the fun.
Hey, Bird, what corner was you coming today?
That's just a lie.
Oh, man.
But dig this here.
Yeah.
Now, see, when all that gang war was going on, I'll tell you one thing I never forget.
And what's that?
See, when I got home, first thing I would hear is,
what?
Bill!
Yeah.
Where you been, boy?
That's it.
Hey. I say, I was out with Sonny Bird and Lil Sonny.
Putting it all up.
I had to put it on somebody.
Hey, Phil, what's your mama say?
She say, boy, now I'm gonna tell you.
What?
You know you getting big now.
Yeah.
You gotta watch the things that you doing out in that street.
Right.
And you go to jail.
Right.
And I'm gonna tell you something, man. Mama wasn't wrong.
No.
But what about Pop? Oh, we ain't talking about Pop.
No, man. Pop was all right.
Pop was hanging out, you know.
Hanging out.
I think Pop was drinking more wine than we used to. I know my Pop did.
Yeah.
My Pop hung right on with you, boy.
Yeah.
Stay out all night. Come on, clothes all wrinkled up. Lip balls all on them.
Hey, Sonny. I thought when your mom cooked them good home-cooked bits today.
Mr. Green.
Oh, man.
Boy, your mama sure cooked her.
All right. I always love my Gigi. All right. So I want to dedicate this podcast to my Gigi, my grandmother, Catherine Mass Boyd. That is our song right there. You know, that's our song and our code. They played it at a funeral. So I thought, you know, I know she heard it at a funeral. So anyway, this podcast is dedicated to my grandmother. All right, guys. We're going to play one more song, clip. Today, guys, we're going to be talking about why are you here? Have you ever questioned yourself, you know, why am I here? You know, many of us try to find our purpose. We seek to, you know, we at a subconscious level, I feel, that we seek to know why are we here. There are many different levels, you know, to why I'm here. I just had a session earlier today, and I was telling I was telling her in the session today, you know, each zodiac sign we're born, that we incarnate into, each energy center that we incarnate into in this earth plane, you know, or this simulation, if you will, this earth simulation hell. No, I'm just kidding. Let me stop. But, you know, that we incarnate into, right? You know, it has a purpose and it has a divine order. And I think that a lot of times we miss the mark is when we attempt to go outside of that divine order, not realizing why we were encoded here in the first place. That part. Interesting podcast today, guys. Why are we here?
Hey. all of the galaxies are in communication, unifying themselves to become a stronger, to become a stronger organism. These are all organisms, okay? So what we're looking at is science in the making, brothers and sisters. These white folk really don't know what's going on. They are trying to guess at everything, but because they are not cosmic, they don't understand the cosmos. They will never understand the cosmos. Even after someone like me, who's given them, you know, pure information and evidence behind the information or whatever else, you know, they still have to study it, and then later on you're gonna find them coming out of the shadows talking about, or better yet, just pretty much like, oh yeah, you know, this is what we discovered. You know, that's pretty much how they're gonna do it. They're gonna be like, this is what we discovered. And, you know, this is expected of them. Right now, we're gonna talk science real quick, all right? During this galactic convergence, the galaxies are communicating with each other, all right? And they are trading information. The type of information that they're trading is, they basically, you know, it's radio frequencies that's coming from galaxy to galaxy. All right? These are radio frequencies, and they're communicating, and they're sending information to each other, and these galaxies are learning each other, and they're learning the energies around them, and they're learning the surrounding energies around them. I mean, so, you know, it's like, it's, we're looking at some powerful information, some powerful activities is going on, all right? So right now, if you guys remember, we talked about perpetual motion, centripetal force, thermodynamics. Remember we talked about that? And, you know, perpetual motion literally means that there's an organism that's, you know, in a spherical shape, that is spinning and is not plugged into anything, all right? Which is our galaxy. You got a heart of a galaxy, and this galaxy is spinning, and the planets that's within the galaxy are also spinning. They're spheres, and they're also spinning, all right? So what you have is centripetal force. Centripetal force talks about when something, an organism, increases its spin, what happens is it creates frequencies and it sends out frequencies, all right? And the frequencies that it sends out are drawing frequencies to it, okay? So we're talking about some powerful energy, some powerful force, brothers and sisters. All right? We're talking some very powerful energy, some powerful force. You know, this is like, you know, some unlearned information. So during this, within this convergence here, the frequencies of the galaxies are becoming stronger, and this affects everything within the galaxy. Remember, star systems are within the galaxy as well. So this affects everything. This affects the planet. This affects the atmosphere, the ionosphere, you know, all the different spherical layers of planets. It affects everything. All right? So we did the perpetual motion, we did the centrifugal force, which means that the faster this organism spins, it creates frequencies, and these frequencies are radio frequencies, okay? frequencies, our radio frequencies, that are, and what's happening is the galaxies are creating new radio frequencies. All right, so when you gotta get into and you start creating new frequencies, new radio frequencies, this is when you get into that supernova state. All right, nova in the Latin term means new. All right, this is when you start to tap into that supernova state, and this is what's happening right now, because mankind has been talking about it for a minute. They said, you know, we're noticing frequencies that we've never seen before, that we never heard before. Now, these frequencies are alien to us. And what it is you got to understand the organisms called galaxies. But then you got to understand the science behind everything, the centripetal force. And like we said, in the centripetal force, you have new frequencies being created, frequencies being sent out, and from those frequencies being sent out, now frequencies are being received. Why? Because these galaxies are receiving the frequencies, you know, like, for instance, you got galaxy A, B, and C. So galaxy A is spinning faster now. It's creating new frequencies. It's sending out frequencies. Now galaxy A, B, and C connect to those frequencies. They're also spinning faster as well. So they send frequencies out. So B sends frequencies out, and A and C catches them. B sends frequencies out. A and B catches it. You know what I'm saying? A sends frequencies out. B and C catches it. Now they're sharing frequencies. And these frequencies are, the frequencies, these radio frequencies that they're sharing is helping them, or are helping them become more unionized. And this is, you know, like we say, this is what convergence means. Unionized, to make a unity. So these galaxies are now unifying with each other through communication. All right? Which means that this is what thermodynamics come into play. Thermodynamics talks about you have this perpetual motion, spinning on its own, not plugged into anything. Now you got centripetal force. The spin has increased. It's creating new frequencies, new radio frequencies. It's sending out radio frequencies, and now it's receiving radio frequencies as it's sending out radio frequencies, okay? Now this increases the heat. And the thing about it is, the heat is increased frequencies, all right? So we talk about our planet is extremely hot. Why? Because our planet is a living organism, fully metallic. And it's creating this frequency that's going through the air. And what you feel is the powerful frequencies in the atmosphere, all throughout the air, all throughout the planet. That's what you feel. So this is that heat, which is why the white man wants to try to cool off the planet to make it more suitable for them when it's not their planet to be on. They have a planet that they can go to that's suitable for them. Very low frequencies and very low vibrations, but they want to be here because they want to own the resources of this world. They want to own the resources. They want to control the resources. It makes them feel good to be in power because the planet that they come from, they were not in a state of power. Okay? So this is the galactic update. All right? So this is, like I said, this is all the galaxies, because we already had the universal convergence where all the universes communicated with each other, and now the universes are parallel to each other. All right? And they have unified. Now the galaxies are now in convergence. All right? And like we said, they created this circle. And they are now unified. They have 60 more days left. The galactic conversion. All right? need 2 more days for the galactic convergence, and then after that 60 days, we're going to have a short period, all right? And then that's going to be June 30th.
Justin.
All right, that'll be 9 days, June 30th. July 18th, which is Monday of July 18th, we'll begin the planetary convergence. Well, all the planets will begin to share information with each other, which means what's going to happen? The planet's going to increase her spin. Okay? And she's going to be creating some new frequencies. And she's going to be sharing frequencies. And all the other planets are going to be all sharing frequencies as well. So our planet, our mother kind, will be receiving extremely high levels of frequencies from all the other planets in our solar system. Remember, the other planets go beyond Jupiter, Mars, Venus, Neptune, no. Like we say, all those stars that you see in the sky, nothing but planets. And we named off some of those planets when we named off the big dipper and the little dipper, and also what they call the three kings. We named off some of those planets. So all of these planets are going to increase their spin, which means that when you look into the sky afterwards, those planets are going to be looking brighter. Why the brightness? You know, you got to understand all these planets are fully metallic because this galaxy is metallic black galaxy. This is a plasma-based universe. Plasma is an organic metal. All right? Plasma is an organic metal. And what happens when you increase the energy of plasma? It begins to glow even brighter. So our planet is in the preparation of increasing her spin. July 18th. All right? After July 18th, we're going to see a whole lot of stuff. So it's going to be 180 days. So we're looking at July 18th to January 18th of 2023, where we're talking about this planetary convergence, which means that the planets are then going to begin unifying with each other. All right? The planets want to begin unifying with each other, and they're going to be sending out some massive, massive frequencies to each other, and they're going to be doing just like the universes and the galaxies, okay? Very soon, we're going to be working on a melanin convergence, where all the brothers and sisters will have no other choice but to unify and to share frequencies to each other.
We're not talking about sex, brothers and sisters. We're not talking about sex, all right? Everybody get that idea. It's not that, all right? But this is just galactic update, so you guys have an idea what's going on, all right? This is why our sun is so hyperactive. These white folks, they don't understand anything. They, you know, like Wages World, you know, oh, our sun, they say our sun. Are you going to say our sun when you got to hide from it? You got to hide from it. It's not your sun.
Oh, my goodness. These days, for the life of everything, these guys, you know, be tripping sometimes. On Wages World, this guy, he'd be like, the sun just gave off an unexpected coronal mass ejection. And you gotta think about it. These inorganic beings are so, what's a good word to use that's not going to sound so bad? So shallow. That's a good word to use. These inorganic beings are so shallow that they have this idea that they can predict when the sun is going to give off a massive eruption and when it's not. That's why I don't follow the shit they talk, all right, because they don't know. it's impossible for you to predict energy, because energy does what it wants to do. All right, energy is free flowing. Energy is moving all the time. Of course, these beings would love it if they could control energy and say I can make energy do this and I can make it, but they can't. All right. So this is all the galactic convergence, brothers and sisters. This is the galactic update. All right? While galaxies have increased their speed, and because the galaxies have increased their speed, you see the halos around the moon that you've been seeing lately, and they've been huge halos. All right? There's been halos around our atmospheric sun. Huge halos. All right? And that's because of this galactic convergence. Because our galaxy has increased the spin, and not only our planet, but all the other planets are feeling this as well. Because the universal convergence happened, and all the universes increased their spin. All right, all the universes increased their spin. The galaxies had to fall in place. So now the galaxies are sharing information, all right, through radio frequencies. They're sharing information, all right, and they have increased their spins. You remember we talked about perpetual motion, centrifugal force, thermodynamics. So this is what we're looking at here. Because of the centripetal force, I'm just reiterating the information that's being shared is going into the galaxy, and because it's going into the galaxy, now it's going to the planets. All right? So now the planets get to unify with all of the galaxies. So all of the planets throughout our galaxy are unified. Like, see, this is our galaxy is the Omega Galaxy. And then we have a sister galaxy over here, which is the Andromeda Galaxy. So because our galaxy and the Andromeda Galaxy are sharing information, and there's all the other galaxies out there are sharing information, all the planets now are gaining information and knowledge on these other galaxies. This is why it's important for us to be in a state of alignment with all of the energies around us. That's why it's important for us to be linked into science and physics and technology and
geometry
and different levels of mathematics, all right, to astronomy and astrology. It's important for us to have that mindset, because that mindset will help us to gain a better knowledge of our surrounding solar system, the solar systems that's all around us, all right? So this is why it's important for you to have this scientific mind. And, you know, like I'm not even going to call their names out. Someone said that after this last eclipse that we was going to have superpowers, brothers and sisters. If you remember Dr. Strange, all right, and you remember Dr. Strange, he was a scientist, and they're showing you in that movie, in order for you to link into these abilities, you must be into science. They were letting you know. So nobody, just because that you had that solar eclipse, it was just a huge planet that was traveling past the sun. That's all. It eclipsed the sun. And then that energy from that planet was brought on to us, and I felt the energy. All right? But nobody's gaining superpowers. All right? We will cut that shit right there. All these brothers and sisters talking about, oh, you gaining superpowers? No. If you don't study, if you don't build, if you don't increase the frequencies and vibrations within you, you will not touch that superpower. All right? That's just point blank. If you don't go to the gym, you don't get no muscles. If you don't cook the food, you don't eat. If you don't work to get the food, you don't eat or get the food. You got to work towards this power. You just don't get it, just like we said earlier. You know, it'd be foolish to literally give jewels to a swine. And this powerful energy that nature and cosmos is giving out, nature and cosmos is like, hold on. I'm not touching this brother, that sister, that brother, that sister, because they're not ready. You give them that, and they will literally just become crazy and irate because their bodies are not in balance. So you just don't come like that. You got to be in balance in order for this energy to come in tune with you. You become in balance. So that's the whole thing about, just like we talk about the galactic conversions. All right? Now you can link into this galactic convergence by going to your state of meditation. Your meditation is going to take you into the higher level of energy and power, which means that you're going to tap into the other galaxies as well. All right? You know, this is, you know, how I gain this information. What am I doing? I'm looking into the galaxy. I'm looking into the universe. I'm looking into the energies in the universe. You know, I'm looking into the knowledge of the universe. You know, that's how you gain this here. So you get to see all these things as you go into meditation, all right? Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. To be born again means what? To have a balanced mind, to literally let go of everything that society has created. To be born again, open up your third eye, your fourth eye, your fifth eye. Because when you come to meditation, you got your third eye right here, but you got your fourth eye and your fifth eye facing up towards the cosmos, and they're looking around too. You know, they're just like that device on the submarine. They're looking. They're looking around the cosmos, see what's everything going. Let's see what's everything going. So, you know, that's important. So this is all about the galactic convergence, brothers and sisters. And remember, the convergence means to unify, to create a union, and the galaxies are creating a union between each other. So they can become more powerful. So they can become a more powerful organism. Next, we will have the planetary convergence. Not an alignment. We're not talking about a planetary alignment. We're talking about a planetary convergence, where all the planets will begin to communicate with each other. And this will be for 180 days, which is 6 months. All right? It will be for 180 days. And the planets will communicate with each other, which means that these frequencies are going to get extremely high. And remember, the heat comes from extremely high frequencies, all right? Not just from the sun. The heat comes from high frequencies. When you begin to think on a higher level, you're hot all the time because why? Your frequencies, you know? And the thing about it, our brothers and sisters, you know, because our planet had all these frequencies, all right, our brothers and sisters were so deep into science and math and technology and physics and building and creating that they, their frequencies were literally moving at an extremely high rate. So their frequencies matched the frequency of the planet, so they didn't feel hot. They actually felt cool. All right? So you got to understand these white folk here on the planet, they need us to complain about the heat. They need us to be in a lower mindset. They don't want us to be in a higher mindset because that means we are meeting the frequencies of the planet, which means that we get to change the frequencies. And when you have this planetary convergence, brothers and sisters, you're going to see a whole lot of brothers and sisters starting to wake up. Oh, yeah. Doing this planetary convergence, right now we have brothers and sisters waking up doing the galactic convergence, but doing the planetary convergence, when the planets begin to unify with each other, all right, when the planets begin to unify with each other and create a new union, and this is when you go into the supernova, which means supreme new energy. When you go into the supernova energy, we're talking about some powerful, powerful forces, brothers and sisters. We're talking about some extremely powerful forces. So, you know, just understand what's going on. This is the galactic update, brothers and sisters. Doing this galactic convergence, the galaxies have increased its spin. This is why our sun, they say the sun is overacting. The sun is not overacting. The sun is doing just what it's supposed to do. Because the sun has increased its spin as well, because the galaxy has increased its spin. This is the galactic sun that we're talking about. So the sun has increased its spin, and the sun has increased its frequencies and its vibrations, and it's sending it to all the planets and sharing this information that it has gained from all the other galaxies. And this is what makes the corona mass ejection so much powerful. So if you guys remember when we announced that the galactic convergence, which was March 30th, if you remember, after March 30th, it seemed like things just started increasing in everything. You started seeing all types of mass ejections just happening back to back to back to back to back. And, you know, they're talking about the constant flow of M-flares just coming to the planet. Why? Because what? The galactic convergence that's happening with all the galaxies communicating, and the galaxies have increased their spin, and the galaxies are going to begin to spin faster as we get closer to the end of that convergence. And then that convergence is going to lead to the planetary convergence, where the planets are going to begin to communicate with each other and increase their spin as well. Okay? So I pass this on to you, brothers and sisters. I hope you understand, or some of them don't understand. Okay? So I hope you guys understand and overstand everything that's been said. All right? And you know the deal, brothers and sisters. I'll catch you guys later. All power to the multi-chakra celestial angelic beings. May chaos reign through forever and ever and ever. And remember, chaos brings change, not peace. Chaos is this galactic conversion. It's a universal convergence, communicating. Now the planetary convergence will soon begin. Remember, the planetary convergence begins July 18th, Monday, July 18th. And it will last for 180 days until January 18th, okay? You guys, let's stay strong. Let's stay prudent. Remember, prudent means to be blameless, to be flawless. Let's stay strong and prudent. Let's continue to build and create. And no matter what these white folks are doing, you continue to move forward and build, because the war will be won by us. But it only will be won when you increase your frequencies and vibrations, and that's through increasing and monitoring and managing the thoughts of what of everything around you. So if you're always thinking on a higher level of building, creating, and making yourself more powerful within nature, and I mean unifying with other brothers and sisters or whatever, this is what increases your frequencies and makes you more powerful. Okay, so catch you guys later. Much power to you all.
The fitting with customized car insurance will be neutral.
Sorry about the
commercials. Like Marco said.
I can feel you.
as I told you guys. Love Beyonce. Well, love, excuse me, I lied. I don't love Beyonce. I enjoy some of the music in which she, you know, produced or she sang a will. The spirit behind the person, Anyhow, thank you guys. Royalty on to you guys. We're going to be switching gears today because those that's listening, why are we here? I think we did a podcast of Why Are We Here before, something similar, but we're going to, yeah, Halo, it's symbolic for something, I'm thinking. You know, maybe you can expound on what the Halo is symbolic for. But we are going to get into... Bobby Hammond, okay? It's still going to be Bobby Hammond, but evil is good. Now, mind you, when we use evil or when we use negativity or when we use the abyss and imbalance, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it becomes, quote, evil because it's maybe imbalanced, you know what I'm saying? But I think that now is a great time to start to understand even the ones who have been using evil or using bad or using negative or using their, you know, magi in the low vibratory aspects, I still think they a lot of people understand the power of it, but a lot of people do not, like they get trapped in it. Eternal, I'm going to go ahead and bring you in early because, you know, I'm just kind of shooting off the wind because just at the last minute, they took away my planned podcast. So, I went on YouTube and it said, like, just yesterday the video was there, everything was fine. But just today, now it's gone. You know what I'm saying? So it happens and it's okay because we're going to roll with it because we are the alchemists. But peace and royalty on to you. I guess switching gears, the topic is going to be evil is good, and we got an hour clip after you expand on Halo or just, you know, give your thoughts. Your mic is unmuted.
Good thing. Peace, Baba. How you feeling today?
Royalty, I feel, I haven't even explored how I feel. I'm just driven, you know what I'm saying, because no matter how I feel, I'm steady, keep going, you know what I'm saying? So driven would be a word.
Okay, I like that. Well, I get the Halo. The Halo is a good magician. And you know about the magician. The magician card shows a halo over the head. And the halo is the external, the OBE, the out-of-body experience of your higher oversoul self. And since we have a giant, that's what that would be considered as, your giant or your angel. And then, of course, when it changes, it's called an angle. So the angle changes to where now you could be a dwarf by a thought. So Snow White, the seven dwarfs. When you add 1 + 7, you get 8. So 8 is your Abatala energy, your unified unity energy, your unifield. And so when we think about the 8 is the 8th chakra, right? But the 8th chakra is on the ground. So in other words, another way you can tap into your 8th chakra, you actually got to go through your 7 chakras to go into your halo, which would be your connection to 9. Your divinity self, your divine self, back into the top of the head, above the head. You know what I mean? And so your 9th, your 10th, your 11th, and your 12th chakra is like basically above your head. But we wouldn't see it because it's layers upon it. So it's like saying when you blow the air out, you don't see the air unless it has some kind of extremity. What I mean by that is you got to have some heat or some cold to really see the air. So our realms or our worlds are basically invisible till we start recognizing its visibility. There's ways that you know it by visibility is like simply by the motion of it. If you put your hand back and forth, you feel motion, and it's not just because you're moving your arm. It's because you're in something as well. Now, we call it air. Some people, and some people call that same thing space. And then some people call that same thing your etheric realm. This is why the fifth dimension, the sixth dimension, and even the seventh dimension can actually come alive. And now you're starting to see things that you didn't see before. Your pixels start to open up. Someone told me if this is a flat plane, right? If they say this is the world is flat. I know we heard that, right? And if we thought about it.
I'm on the other side of the house. Say that last part. Say it again. Heard of what?
That the world is flat.
The world is flat.
You
yeah,
heard
I
that?
Heard
that.
Yep.
Okay, so if the world is flat, that means it's one dimension. There's no other dimension.
Mm. Okay. Aha. All right.
Not stating that it's not true. Not stating that it's not true. It's just stating
okay.
that it has some trueness to it. So, in other words, that book is flat, right?
Hey.
Meaning that it could be one-dimensional. However, it has edges. So whenever you have something that has edges, it changes the dimension right there automatically.
Okay.
So now it could be have more than one dimension. That's why when people say the world is flat, they're right. And then when people say the world is round, they're right. Both of them are right. It's in their perceptions that makes them right. So like life,
okay.
it teaches us we're at certain levels. Some of us might stay in kindergarten. Some of us might graduate in third grade. Some of us might even graduate. Some of us never even got in
uh-huh.
school. We dropped out. So this is where our dimensions of circumference, thinking, how we act, how our actions is. That's why you had to see Will Smith, all that, become an act to an action that's already happening. That action already happened. What we saw was the act so it can happen more. So we can now accept what the action already is doing. That wasn't a Will Smith incident. That was a masculine-feminine incident. And then there was an overcover on the feminine. And if we look at the feminine is being more and more employed to be masculine so that they won't have an outlet for feminine in feminine. Now the feminine will be like, you got to stay masculine in order to get things done because nobody's going to listen to someone who's not feminine. You know what I mean? So this is why the domination or the word demo, domination, demoneer, it becomes a distraction. When we say demo, democracy, all that is a distraction from your spiritual self. And because I say that, the Republic, the House of Republic, the Republican, you're saying republicize yourself. But you already publicized yourself. Why do you got to republicize yourself? That means someone's already messing with your imagination. This is where magic starts. This is why the halo is important. You got to know that when you're putting a spell on yourself, you can also take a spell off of yourself. In other words, don't put your hand on your heart and say the flag without the acknowledgement of saying that's not your flag, that's not your banner, that's some other imitation. You probably don't even have to stand up. Sit down. These are conformed things, just like how we were just talking about the planets. All the planets are conjuring themselves together. Not saying that they're going to all stick the same way, do the same thing. No, but they're going to have some similarities. And that's what's going to keep them able to work the magic. The magic represents a unified theory. And it also represents a behavior theory. So what we saw was savagery. We saw Will Smith smack a man. But at the same time, this man older than him. What are you doing smacking a man older than him? And then what are you doing smacking a man about something else that got nothing to do with him, but it's about him? That's being in the world, but not of the world. See, we get messages in different ways. It don't have to always be the way you look at it. That's why when you go in the door, it's never the same when you walk back out. Meaning that if you put your foot in the water and it was sand that your foot was stuck into, you take your foot back out. You can't put your foot back in that sand, the same sand, and make that same footprint. It's gone now. It's done. What is done is done. So our acceptance, what do we do for our acceptance? Don't just accept everything. You know what I mean? Some things you still got to pull back. You got to use your seven senses. You got to say, wait a minute, my ears didn't hear that the way I thought I heard it. Or my nose didn't smell it the way it seems like it smells good. It might be not a good smell. And then you'll start to see the irritation.
Can you give an example of what you just said? Because I think that we have a hard time. Now, you just kind of said kind of like a double-sided statement, and that is you have to accept things, you know, just as they are, but you don't have to accept things. Could you break down what you mean by that? Because I think that it's important. Yeah.
No, it is. It is. And that's good for us to slow it down and get deeper into the subject, because it's about
the
matter.
Right there, that's what many people are getting stuck into, and myself included, for a long time. I had to understand that. So please break that down.
All right, so it's the idea of expecting not to expect, even though you're expecting that in itself. You're expecting not to expect something, even though it's happening. You're seeing it happen, you're like, damn it, how am I going to react to that? Like, I wasn't expecting that, but then your reaction is not to give what they expect you to react from. Don't react the same way. Don't react the same way you got it. It was received to you. That's why perceive and receive are two different words. So if your father says, I'm going to take you out tonight, we're going to go on a trip, and I'm going to spend lots of money for you, you know what I mean? We're going to have a party of a time. And then here come the night. And then he don't show up. He don't call you. The very next day he see you. And he be like, hey, what's going on, man? And he be like, did you forget about what happened yesterday? Oh, man, you know what? I forgot all about it. You know what? Tomorrow we're going to do it. Now your expectation is shortened already. So you're not going to be like the same way you was the day before. You're going to start to say, wait a minute, I need to expect less of that. Because if I put all my feelings into that, And it don't come out the way I saw it, I'm going to be highly pissed. I already did that already. So
you already did that.
That's an example.
So you're good now. It doesn't affect you.
Right. It might not
so
be the heavy
quote,
hitter.
Y'all. Here's the quote to the listening audience. A quote for that is this. Life is only 10% of what happens, yet 90% in how you react to it. So we're not judging the situation, nor are we even mad at the person because they yet again let you down. You know, no, we just know and expect that, okay, you know, I know this person has a history of doing this. And I say that because I just did this yesterday. I told somebody I was going to do something, and this is something that I'm a repeat offender where I let her down every time, said I was coming, never showed up. And, you know, and this just happened last night. So, but yeah, anyway, you guys, it's how on the receiving end, y'all, it's how you, you know, react to it. So the lesson, so I know I know the lesson is for her. Like, how is she going to react?
Right.
Keep on letting her down again.
Right.
So is she going to judge
Because, see, some people look in your face to see how your reaction is. Which, that's not good either, because that means if you're a repeated offender doing that, you're looking to see a response. Now, you're expecting a response to be the same when you do this type of stuff. So don't keep doing – if you're that person that likes to do that to people, don't keep doing that to people, because not all of them going to take the same way that the other person is. You know, some of them might even – it hurt them worse.
Which is true.
And they'd be like, oh, I didn't know you was going to be that bad about it. But, well, I mean, if you told somebody, say, I'm going to – they're in the desert. They're in the desert. You ain't thinking about it. You just got in the desert. So you say, I'm going to be right back. They're like, really? You coming right back? Okay, I'm going to wait on that person because they're in the desert. But if you in a carnival and you say, I'll be right back, they're like, okay, they ain't thinking about you like that. Not unless you know what I mean, unless you got some money or something, they already entertained by what's going on. So it's just a matter of you.
Everything's a team. I don't know what happened. You turned your phone man hung up. Uh-oh. We probably lost him. What I was trying to – did we lose him? It's when I can't hear you anymore. Or is it me? If you guys can hear me, everything is a teacher. Life. Yeah, Eternal, I can't hear you anymore, but everything's a teacher, you guys. Life is a teacher, and Eternal is right. You know, I could, work. Literally yesterday, you guys, I honestly forgot. Like, seriously. Like, this time, sometimes I do shit intentionally, but this time I truly forgot. Like, I was super busy doing shit. I was all over the place, and I really honestly forgot, guys. But I think that it was a lesson for me, you know, to be better, you know what I'm saying, and what I project and what I put out, especially as a businessman, you know what I'm saying? So that's the lesson for me. But the lesson, whatever lesson for her is whatever lesson for her. And I want to say that everything is a teacher. It's all, you like, nothing is happening by mistake. As much as we like to control outcomes and, you know, of how it is what it is. Everything is everything, you know. As my deceased grandmother spoke to me recently and said, you know, life is not about what you are going through, yet what are you learning? That part.
Yes.
We can hear you, Eternal. Go ahead.
Yeah, the teacher is going to be yourself as a student. That's always going to be the class. You want to be in a class with other people. However, your grade is different. And gradually, you're going to see how it works, you know. Your speed ain't going to be the same as that last person said, oh, I just finished my test. You're like, you little kiss-up person. And now you want to speed up because they speeded up their test. But that's not your flow. That's going to have you challenge yourself. It might motivate you, yet at the same time, it could also have you start to create these, what we were just saying, mistakes. Now you're going to see purposes because there aren't no mistakes. As everything is everything, and what will be. So if you're into it, you're going to do it the way you're supposed to. If you're into it more, it's just now the initiation towards your imagination, not to have your intelligence blind you. Now when we're blindsided, you'd be thinking, you know, I did it. Me. It was all involved with me. I didn't have no help. I did it all by myself. That's the ego. What we were taught in our culture is not to come out egotistical. Period. That's how people, everybody can eat. But if you come out egotistical and say, and without me being in the room, no one would have got it done. No. See, now you're going to have some enemies after a while. And that's why day and night change. If you look at the movie Maya and the Three, it's a Netflix. They show a sister learning her demiurge ability. And what I mean by demiurge is you come from your mother and your father on a physical plane. But now imagine if you came from a godlike energy, right? And it was passed on to you, the godlike energy. So now you're the child of the godlike energy. That's what the demiurge represents. And so you've heard this story plenty of times. In Maya, they asked to use the woman of the dead to get up with the king or emperor, and they have a child, but they didn't have a child in what they call it, quote-unquote, wedlock. I'm going to just say they didn't have a child within their culture aspect, so that when they saw that him being with another woman who has three boys, she ended up having the daughter. And he's like, whoa, oh, shoot. And she pops up and gives this baby off and say, you got to take care of the child. The mother looking at it like, yo, I don't want to take this child because it ain't come from me. The reality, though, is we've seen this because whether it was Moses, whether it was Jesus, you know, and Joseph had to realize Gabriel just screwed my wife so he could have a baby. And this baby in the stomach, and I ain't have no baby from this woman yet. You know, so there's the ego. How much do we really got to lower down the ego so the village can still be established? Because regardless of what we want to control, we can't control everything. I can't control whether I'm going to have a baby or not. What
so
I can
try.
Do is I can adapt. Say it again.
I said we can sure as hell try to learn that we are really not in control.
You're not the controller. If you was the controller, you'd be doing some other stuff too. Not just having a baby. What type of baby? Can your baby have this? Since you're all in that controlling, let's see what kind of baby comes out. Is this baby an artist? Is this baby a speaker? Is this baby, you know? You should be able to control that.
Is it even
then. So it's like, is it what?
No, I was just going to say, is it even the boy or girl that we try to, you know, just down to the sex alone? We try to control that.
Yeah. Left hand, right hand. I want my child to go through left-handed situation. So I'm going to change my hand, my baby chain hand to the right. You don't know what your child is going to grow up to be like. That's why you're studying your child at all times, even when they get older. It should be a study. My father just called me a second ago. I had to hurry up and get off the phone with him because I know what he wants. He wanted to be around me. However, I feel like you just kind of, your time is almost up on how much time that I've been giving you so you can be around me. And here it is, you're around me, and you still ain't doing the things I would think you would want to do around me. I still ain't take this pole stick out with him and shoot pool. The very thing that he said he was going to have for me done. But so when someone passed away, I can't say, oh, someone passed away. Please, you said we were going to go out and pool and shoot some pool. I'm not going to do that. Now I got to be reminded, though, is that do you remember you kind of like threw a promise out there? I want to call it a promise. I know it's been a swear, a curse, a vow, or vowels. This is how it ended up being, the oath. But when you say, I'm going to do something, are you really going to do it? Or are you just going to say, I'm going to do something and don't have no intention of doing it? Don't pass it on then. Don't put anything in somebody's expectations so they can say, oh, we're not going to do it. Okay. All right. Well, okay. And so that's why, is it good? Is it bad? Are we good people? Are we bad people? What is your intent when you said it in the first place? Were you doing it for empty fulfillment? Did you have it and you didn't really have a plan? There's nothing wrong with not having a plan. Not everything is planned out. Don't get mad if it don't come out because it wasn't planned. That's what I look at. Like, mm-hmm. We should not get mad about these things. If you didn't really, you didn't put a plan together. You just said, hey, we're going to shoot pool one day. And then the day you say we're going to shoot pool, as you hear that in the background, death happens. So there's the demo and distraction. So, okay, let's start paying attention to it. Now that you paid attention to it, do you know how to come back and multitask, though? If you can't, then don't be passing on things that you ain't really ready for. You're not really ready yet. Or just go back to when you're ready. I'll sit here and wait, or I'll do something else to keep myself occupied. What I know is water,
it's okay,
is stagnant. When water is stagnant, it gets stale. So you
it's
can
okay
do
if you're
other
not
things.
Ready.
Yeah, no, it's okay. What I'm saying is if it's stagnant and if it's stale, though, you got to get it flowing in a different way so that it can still be something ready. Because even with you looking at that water wanting it to boil, it don't boil by you sitting there watching it. You got to turn on the heat. You got to do some other mm-hmm. things, maybe cut up some pieces that you can put in the water.
Ooh.
And by the time that water is not boiling, you got, oh, the water boiling. Or the water's gone. You're like, dang, I got to add more water. Don't stay mindful to the one thing and expecting that to be the best thing. That's like saying, I got the best hot dog.
I just, Eternal, if I can use it as an example, in my own space, right, is that, you know, I noticed that I start attracting certain things. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if water is sit stagnant for a long period of time, guess what? It'll start attracting that to it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So this could be, well, for me, how I took it, when I started to attract these nets and stuff like that, and like water around my house, you know, would be stagnant. Now, mind you, I'm not nasty, y'all. But there are certain times where, you know, a day or two where dishes won't get washed. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes. And, you know, like when the water is stagnant, I noticed that it started to attract gnats. So just in the analogy, just as Eternal just used, even in our own life, if our situations are left stagnant, we may attract, you know, the gnats could be symbolic as low vibratory energies or, you know,
yeah,
more chaos or, yeah, that part. I'm learning as you talk.
No, that's
me, go ahead.
No, that's
we
good.
We got the clip.
The way we turn.
We got the clip.
Yeah.
The
way we turn butter is not going to always be the same, but the butter needs to be churned so it can have butter. So we can all find the familiarities of how the butter can still get to that smooth, creamy, you know, spread it on your bread taste feeling. You know what I mean? And might not everybody put the same ingredients in their substances to make the butter. I might be vegan. You might say, I don't want to eat vegan. Well, all right, cool. As long as you still figure out how to be able to spread this, we'll be doing as your imagination on your bread. We all have to have imagination, intelligence, and initiation. That's the unfolding. Because we say we're good or we're bad, your left foot is bad, right? But if you stood on that one leg that whole time, it ain't as bad as you think. It was actually doing you a good purpose to have a leg. But now if you got two legs, you might say, now I got a good leg and I got a bad leg. But now you still got two legs to work with. You just happen to call it good and bad. So it's really the ego that's getting in the way. Like, that water might be bad that is sitting there, but now take that water and don't throw it in the sink. Throw it outside. Do you know you smell the swamp at night sometimes and don't notice it?
You said what? A swamp? What'd you say?
You can smell the swamp at night without noticing it.
No, I never paid attention.
Now, if you got a chance, get around a lot of like grassy area. And for me, like I ride the bike at night, so whether it's day or night, I get that my nose is open to smell the environment. But what I've noticed is, you know, because all the cars running around, everybody moving, nobody noticed what's smelling, all that smell that's going on in the air. They got their own pheromone energy, right? But when the gas is out the way, no cars running around, there's moisture in the air now more because the grass is touched by the water and things like that. And now while I'm riding through it, I smell the coolness coming out. But now with that coolness, I can smell how far that coolness can go to where I can start smelling like tadpoles, swamp smell. And I'm like, dang, I didn't know I could smell that deep. But here it is, what your imagination taught you when you was young, running around and grabbing tadpoles right out of the swamp. Didn't know it was a swamp, but it was like, yo, get out of there. Y'all get out of there. You can wash your hands. You're going to get some kind of, you know, disease, whatever they try to throw in your brain. So it didn't stay with me, that part. But the part that stayed with me was the smell. The smell was there. So I never forget it. When I rolled by and I'm starting to smell, at first, as spring was starting to kick in, I started to smell honeysuckles. Oh, yeah, I know this is springtime. And then, you know, you start to hear the frogs at night. Now you can smell the swamp, the swampy smelling, the marsh smell. When night is at night, we don't think of growth. When we got a kingdom called the fungi kingdom, they take care of that in the dark. While the sun hits you in the daytime, and that gives you the energy for growth. But when you lay down at night, you are getting the growth. That's why we grow nails and hair. And when you get up, you're like, dang, my nails are, I didn't know this was this long. I need to cut these things. You know, your toenails, your hair. You know what I mean? That's why we wouldn't really notice ourselves unless we really look in the mirror. Or someone tell you, like, yo, you lost some weight. You're like, dang, I ain't even noticed. But because you're in this body, you can't see all these other kingdoms that you're in. You're in the plant kingdom. You're in the animal kingdom. You're in the mineral kingdom. You're in the human kingdom. And then, of course, idea of superhuman, we might not ever talk about. But it's because how we talk about good and bad all the time. Like, you now turn on the TV, Killmonger is like everybody's superhero now. We got Killmonger. We got Thanos. We got Deadpool. And they were all like people that was seemed like they could have been a good guy, but they're bad. Or seem like they're bad, but they're really good. And you're like, wait a minute, I'm confused about these superheroes. I don't know who they are. And that's why. It's teaching us that there's a masculine and there's a feminine principle. And since we don't know the difference between the two, we're going to change the genders up so that you won't even see what we're still talking about. It's still principles. Yeah. If the trash is in the house. Yeah. If the trash is in the house, do you take it out?
Yeah.
I would think it would if it's stinking. It would stink up your house. I don't care if you're masculine. I don't care if you're feminine. You still got to get it out of there. That's the principle.
Hey, y'all. Let's go ahead, Eternal. Let's hop in, cause I forgot this clip. Let's go ahead and hop into this clip, you guys. Love you guys. You know what? Instead,
we're going to do it like this. Let's go ahead and play this clip. Yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to revamp this clip because this one was good, you guys. Everybody, I'm going to put the Evil is Good link in the group. You know what I'm saying? The reason why I don't want to go into the Evil is Good because we already talked about that. You know what I'm saying? We've already been there. We already talked about that. So we're just kind of going with the wind with this particular podcast, guys. But this, what I'm about to play for you now, is important because it's about self-awareness. It's about the subconscious mind and things that a lot of people are growing through in this time. Eternal, before we go into the clip, Eternal, can you please do me a favor for a listener who's listening? The goddess Mutt. Can you break down the goddess Mutt? My card pull today was goddess Mutt about wisdom and feminine energy. Can you break down the goddess Mutt in your terminology?
Yeah. And I'm glad you're still putting, like, all the analogies. Why are we here? This is why we're here. Why is it good being bad and bad being good? It goes right back to this whole analogy of our alignment. Now, I know a lot of people calling the retrograde a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a personal thing.
Yeah.
You have to start doing some personal shadow working. Start looking at your rigid side, your worried side, your fearful side, and you got to pierce through that. You got to go on through the veil, go on past that sheet and clothing and all that, the iron sheet, you know, your rules that you made up for yourself. Sometimes even when you find out how your rule is about certain things, now you got to come up with the rules. You got to be more stiff on certain things you probably didn't think about. That's where the stiff neck, the bull is to talk about. Now, the reason why I brought up the bull, because it's another connection to Moolah, that they got as a comic book. But the same Moolah, they got it as an in-horned bull. But the bull represents Amun, A-M-U-N. You look up Amun or Amun, M-O-N, A-M-O-N. But this represents the moon. So when a people saying that they're sinning and doing that, or the menace, the M-I-N, that's men as a higher deity being, that has this red, I'm gonna send a picture to the brother. He has a red, basically a red, what they call it, a tarbush, what some people call a fez on his head. But he also has this one centering piece that's in the middle of it. It's like he's a representation of our phallus, our energy, our fallacy, the way we look at life, resurrection, the resurrection, how that every day you get up, you basically want to detox. That idea is your cleansing fork or cleansing tool. And so they made the rod, like mm-hmm. Moses, the same thing as a staff or like a serpent. So all of this is still the alignment of the masculine. Now, when we talk about the feminine, we're talking about a bacteria. Now, when we're speaking, like right now, we're speaking, but every time we say some words or whatever, bacteria is forming into the universe. Now, that was the reason why I had to bring up the fungi. I'm glad we did all that because the fungi kingdom takes care of your bacteria. The vulture takes care of your bacteria. So what they did was they gave us another way of looking at Atum and made Atum, A-T-U-M, and turn around, you got Muta. And then you take the A out, you got Mut. So when Mut came around, they made it the connection to the bull, but in a death aspect. A life and death aspect, but now we're going to say the bacteria cleaner. So she came in to basically take care of the bacteria that's on the earth. And because the bacteria is on the earth, it's like saying that the earth is dirty. But, you know, of course, the earth can't be dirty, but it can also have certain things on the earth that don't work for us. And so what she does is she'll take it like a vulture. She'll come down and eat the dead carcass that's on the earth that's, you know, somebody hit it by a car, but nobody want to take care of that. So she'll come over there and eat it. But what she does is she brings life back because of that. Now, it's really a scary or like a trial and error thing. However, she's the one is the once you finally came up with the initiation and you fulfilled the initiation task, she brings you out of the underworld like Ampu does and bring you back Because Ampu, he's the guider. He's going to bring you from the waters back and forth. So as far as a PEP, A-P-E-P, he's known as your bowel system. The dog, he's also connected to your bowel system. So when we think about king and the queen, they have to have royalties around her or him. So they'll have appointed people. So Mut would be like a stewardess to Aset. And whenever something happens, she's like the help of the mummifying, just like Ampu is. Ampu is the help of the mummifying. If you look at Moon Knight, a movie Moon Knight, it's a series, I think it's on Netflix or one of them, James. But they're going deeper into what I'm speaking about. So you can actually see what I'm talking about without having to say, oh, that brother just confused the crap out of me. Don't keep looking at people confuse you. The moment you put that up, you're basically putting a wall up in front of you already. You're saying, I don't want to know, and I'm not even going to use my senses to apply myself. You got eyes, ears, nose, and a mouth. And Most High gave us seven senses. So out of those seven senses, somewhere in there, one of them is logically speaking like, that brother is telling the truth. Now, if that was working with you and that resonate with you, go on and research. Now, if it's not resonate with you, I just suggest don't even, you know what I mean, don't listen to me then. Because for real, we're doing this all the time, and we're able to find out what Mut is. Mut is your mother nature. That's why it's called Mutter, Mutter, Mother, or Moth. You hear the word Moth. You know, this is what the butterfly, that's why the butterfly effect is so powerful. The butterfly from a caterpillar, from a worm to a caterpillar, this is all still a representation of the snake. So when a worm, a caterpillar go into pupa state, and then they come cocoon, the cocoon state, and then they come out, and then you're like, oh, snap. They have a determination whether they want to be a moth or a butterfly. Now, why? Because there's a certain time of the season they got to either decide on the ground, I'm going to go into my pupa state, I'm going to come out now, and then this is my decisions I'm going to have to deal with. Same way with a mother who's having a child. A mother who's having a child could have a boy or could have a girl. And that's how you know through seasons when you have it. When the baby's up in the higher part of the body, when the nose is big, when the baby drops at the bottom of the stomach. There's ways that women will run around each other and they'd be like, oh, you got swell feet, you're going to have a boy. And you're like, how do you know that? You're like, well, the science is there. You know, we've been going through this so much that now we see the patterns. So when they came up with the deity Mut, Mut was the idea of you see death, and now you're about to see life be reborn right in front of you. It's like the lotus, you know what I'm saying? So you're going to see pictures of Mut with the vulture on the head and the snake saying that she's went through death and now came back to life. And so that's eternal life. A lot of the symbolic symbols of all these deities usually end up having an unk in their hand because they wanted to express to us that that's about eternal life. Now, of course, when the cross got put in, it became a duality of life. And that's why we see duals or duat or the waters. And so to tap all this, wrap this all around, we talked about good and bad, which is about Mut, M-U-T, and Amun, A-M-O-N or A-M-U-N. Now, what we are talking about is the vowels are interchangeable. So we know this word. We all been saying it since we were a child or since before that. Your mother told you to say amen, but you didn't know that was amun. So that's why it wasn't resonating for you yet. That's like you're sitting there and you say, Thomas, Thomas. But his name is not Thomas. That's why he's not listening to you, because that's not how they call him. They're supposed to say Tomas, Tomas. And then he would have probably responded.
The pronunciation. Eternal, let me share with you what something that I had just caught this week. The reason why in etymology and spell casting, the reason why we can't activate some of this stuff, you know, in ancient I like to say her story because I am running far, far away from history, okay? Her story, tapping into her story. The reason why it's the pronunciation of the name. Many people cannot even, like somebody from Nigeria or something like that, many people cannot pronounce the proper way to say certain things. Why? Because omitted for them to pronounce it.
the energy is for you. It's safe. The energy is so sacred, you have to know how to pronounce it correctly in order to activate it. Boom!
That's right.
Just had that this week, Eternal. We're going to get into this clip. Let's go into this clip, because if we open it back up, so let's go ahead and play this clip. A book that Eternals just sent, guys, a good book to get on if you're trying to learn in the background is The Black Ancient Egyptians, okay, by Muala Ashby, Ashby, excuse me, and it's go ahead, Eternal, you say it, go ahead.
See, he has a name in there. It's Muta Ashby. So he put M-U, Mu, and Ata, Muata Ashby. And he's an actual a great commission, because, you know, even the word Egypt is not us. That's a description. Like, say, we learn in Egyptology. We don't learn Ascantology. We don't learn Chinatology. So you can see that someone's drifting us into one category when we got all the categories. They just got to give it a different name so that we'll go to that. So to define something is not going to be the same as the definition. So when I say this is law, no, that's the description of law. You wanted to describe law, but you can never see what law is. Law is everything. So how can you describe it in one little thing? So this is why the word Mutaba Ashby is like a powerful name in itself. You can see it. And so for him taking on that, his woman being with him, they made books together, and they got it in our colleges. So now when you look up history, you can still kind of break it down. You just had to look at the origin of the names. Now, first, like it says, the Black Ancient Egyptians. Now, you already know the and black. The meaning origin. Black to what now? And now ancient is older than anything, right? But it put Egyptian. So I can't say ancient and Egyptians when Egypt's supposed to be older than ancient. But the word ancient is more older than Egypt. So that's why when you look at words, you're going to have to be able to – that's your own deciphering you're going to have to do. So just always take your own decoder when you're reading a book, your own interpretation. So while you're reading it, it's also coming from their perception. Then you can take their perception, put it on a piece of paper, cross-reference it, and that's why you probably were thinking that way.
Bam. All right, y'all. Let's go ahead and go into this clip. And after the clip, guys, the clip is only 22 minutes, you guys, versus the hour. Let's just roll with it. All right, guys.
Peace, family. It's Captain the Oracle. My happy room is gathering, a.k.a. Little Gang Gang. And I wanted to drop a really quick video just speaking on some of the energy that I feel is prompting us to evolve. And it's kind of like an evolve or die type energy. Evolve or die. And I say that because I have been battling with death in my mentality, death in the way that I move throughout the day. And I'm explaining what that means. So sometimes the trauma that you have experienced when you're going through the awakening and you're being triggered and consciousness is expanding and your higher self is calling you up to be activated and to not be dormant and to not live on autopilot and to not follow everybody else's rules and regulations and traditions and beliefs. You're questioning everything, and as you're questioning everything, you're figuring out what's right for you, and what's right for you may be totally opposite of what society has taught you, what your culture has taught you, what is acceptable in your family, whatever religion, belief systems that you grew up in. We're finding what is right for us, and this is a whole, this is the collective energy of what we're being called to do, to explore ourselves and step more into our authenticity and to be sovereign and to be individuals and not clones and not living because of the pressure to fit in. And so, you know, so when you awaken from the matrix, when you come out of the artificial womb, the artificial time frequency, what happens is you just begin to question everything, and you begin a deep self-exploration, and you go on this journey, and you find yourself just falling into these rabbit holes, you know, and you're just seeking truth and seeking what resonates with you. And so in all of that, the trauma, we have the ancestral trauma, you know what I'm saying, the generational shit that maybe you've been called to clear in your family. We have the trauma that, for those of us who are intuitive and empaths, we have the trauma that we're feeling from our land, from shit that happened to our ancestors, and things that happened to people, maybe that we have some type of bloodline connection to, you know, and you can feel it pulsing from the land. And if you don't know the history of the land where you live, you know, this could be really impactful on you. And you're feeling the things from your past life because maybe you're awakening now to clear the karma from a past life. So you got all of this happening at one time. And so the trauma comes to the surface. And as you're doing these deep dives into your subconscious mind and you're shifting more towards, you know, middle path, for those of us who have already awakened and have left religion institutions, you're seeking that. You right-hand path, and then you middle path, and then it's like left-hand path. Oh, that's subconscious, unconscious shit? Okay, well, maybe I need some of that. And you're just going through all of these different things that you're discovering, different ways to master yourself. And in doing that, sometimes I just have these moments and these days where I just wake up in some type of programming, some type of trauma that has been stored in my body, my emotional body, my mental body, my pain body, my desire body, and I'm feeling the impacts of those things needing to be healed and purged, and I'm reliving some of my childhood wounds, and maybe I'm being triggered, and I'm remembering how as a kid I did sometimes feel neglected or left out or abandoned, or even some of the trauma that I experienced as an adult. And all that stuff just starts coming to the surface, and it can either bring you into a depression. You could go into having a spiritual emergency, which we talked about on our YouTube channel. You could go into wanting to numb yourself. You could start reaching for substances or retail therapy or just doing things to cope and to make you feel better. But your higher self is calling you to expand and to reach your highest potential. So you also feel the conflict of that. And so all of a sudden it's not okay anymore for you to be mediocre. It's not okay anymore for you to choose the things that's not going to take you where your aspirations are wanting you to go. And so just you get in that struggle, and you get in a struggle where the wounded part of you is like, no, I need things to stay the same. I'm more comfortable in a controlled environment. I don't want to try new things. I don't want to open myself up. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want my family to not accept me anymore, you know, because of whatever it is I'm doing or believe in or what I identify with. All these things coming up for you, and you can feel this internal conflict. And whenever your present self is not in a vibration that is connecting you to your higher self and you've been desiring to evolve, you're going to feel that conflict and that inner turmoil. And so, you know, I've really been feeling that lately. And so when the trauma came up for me, I suffer with something called complex PTSD. And so my nervous system gets dysregulated with certain triggers and certain memories. You know, so if you have nightmares, if you have memories of things coming back to you just out the blue, and it just kind of stops you in your tracks, like a lot of those things could be signs of complex PTSD, which I believe most people who are experiencing this awakening thing are feeling that and starting to identify and see, you know, I'm processing a lot of trauma, a lot of shit that I ignored. So in the age of Pisces, that energy was like supportive of us being on life support. You know, we weren't really living. We were just following the narrative that we were given. you know, by those who raised us, those around us, you know, and soldiers don't rock the boat, operate in my egoic self. The false self is what gets approval, and I don't have to deal with as much conflict and issues. I'm operating in my false self. So when you awaken, you realize that there's this whole other self. You have these all of these other facets of you. And so when my complex PTSD shows up, it renders me useless. I almost suffer from paralysis to where I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't even want to move. You know, I just want to sit still, cuddle up. I just want to try to comfort myself. It's crazy. And I'll catch myself doing that, and I realize I'm processing some trauma. And so the best way to deal with that, if it's resonating with you, is to begin working on detoxing your mind of the judgment of you and how you respond and what you do and the things that you're learning about yourself, you know, as you're doing the path, walking the path of self-realization, you know, and just releasing the judgment on that. And it can come up, and whatever it is for you, you know, substance abuse is a big thing in my lineage. So it's something that I have to be keenly aware of. And it's just, I was born into really interesting circumstances where there were certain substances that I would need to function, and where the pain level isn't so great that I can't function at all. So, you know, it's one of those things where nobody can really tell me exactly how to do that, you know, unless you have experienced it. And so I'm always having to gauge my choices and look further down the line and see, this choice right now, is this taking me to where I want to go, or where can I want to go? Is it keeping me stuck in a second place or allowing me to come out of it? And you know, but there is a time for that death current as well. And the death current is just that part of you as you're going through the transformation. Sometimes some parts of you need to die. Sometimes some of your coping mechanisms are needing to die. So, again, in the age of Pisces, we were on life support, and you could kind of live on autopilot, and it was cool, you know. But now it's like your body won't let you eat what you want to eat. You can't drink whatever you want to drink. You can really feel the results of not getting enough sleep. You can feel the results of not exercising. You can, like, all of a sudden now we're extremely energetically sensitive to everything happening with our temples. And so there are times, though, where you need to go into that depth current. And you may become, you know, it's like a cocoon. You go into a cocoon for your transformation to happen. And so you just kind of have to be aware and diagnosing yourself and saying, okay, have I been in a cocoon too long, you know? Am I not living right now because I'm so busy coping and trying to get through this awakening process of self-realization and self-actualization? Am I just coping, or am I living? And so, you know, so there is a time for life and time for death. And this is why with full moon energy and new moon energy, we talk about it on our channel. We welcome those energies, and we perform rituals and ceremonies that are going to be in alignment with that energy to maximize the results that we are seeking to obtain on the path of self-mastery. And so with that comes the battle of being able to step out of the conditioning from your trauma. And the only way you will get to the next level is releasing the judgment, not just of yourself, but other people.
Hello?
And that is a whole other topic. I'm probably going to do a build on that topic alone. But the religious indoctrination, it calls us to be very judgmental in a way that I would say I would compare to a mental imbalance, a mental illness, to where we had to always be judging everything we were doing in an attempt to be right, or in an attempt to have the people that raised us be proud of us or happy of us, or the people that surround us, you know what I'm saying? We were really trying to do that and be that, to the point where we internalized that and we lost ourselves in that judgment. And so if you are awakening and you came through religion, whether it was firsthand, secondhand, or third, I talk about what that means, whether it was you, whether it was your mom or dad, grandparents, whoever, most of us were definitely touched by the indoctrination of religion. And so you went through this cycle of judgmental, but you would call it discerning yourself. We always had these words that we used that kept us in that sleep and in that slumber and under that spell and that stasis where we weren't really getting to know ourselves, because ourselves seemed to be something that was so terrible, bad, broken, wounded, just couldn't get it right. Sinful, no good thing about you since the day you was born. You're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You just ain't shit. You ain't shit. You ain't shit. You ain't shit. And you got to repent, repent, repent. Pay some tithes, some offerings. Read some scriptures. Pray, 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 pray. Fast, fast, fast. And we did so much of that that our brains have been trained to hone in on the things we're not doing that we feel meet our expectation or the expectations of other people around us. And then we began to project that on other people. And so people who came through some form of religion, we are extremely judgmental and can be very, very critical, which is why we're so critical of ourselves. And what this does is it gets in the way of you being able to find your authentic self, because you have a subconscious program that you are probably not aware of until you hear me talking about it now. And that religious, judgmental, policing type mentality is in there somewhere, always casting judgment on you. And what that does is, one of the five sutras of the Age of Aquarius is that to know that the person that you are seeing is you too. So there is and everything outside of you that triggers you that has a point of contact inside of you, which is why it triggers you and which is why you're so keen to see it. And so knowing that all of those things are somehow a reflection of maybe some soul work we need to do within ourselves, releasing the judgment is going to be the only way that you will be able to have compassion for yourself and compassion for other people. And so, the Surviving Religion series thing, we're still kind of working on the rest of that because we're exploring it right now, and it's so deep. Religion causes a lot of trauma.
Yep.
And you know, we can get into how much blood has been shed because of religion and the wars and all of that. But just beyond that, it has caused a lot of trauma. And so in our search to regather the parts of ourselves that we lost, that were fragmented and compartmentalized, in our effort to figure out why is my soul here outside of all my conditioning, in order for you to continue to evolve, you got to work on releasing your judgment and finding out, is my subconscious mind judgmental about the stuff that I have recently learned about that I'm coming into the knowledge of? So your conscious mind might be like, okay, my beliefs are changing. I'm evolving. I'm becoming more of a 4D consciousness person than a 3D consciousness person, and ascending even into 5D mentality. So it's not the self-exploration on the spiritual journey of self-realization is not you judging yourself, criticizing yourself, feeling convicted every single day that you can't get it right, and then trying to fix it. See, all that stuff accumulates and creates trauma that stores in the body. What we're doing now is just being the observer. So whatever is happening outside of you that triggers you is you've got a mental block where you can't see your shadow aspects, and some of your shadow aspects of subconscious programming is just below your radar. Pay attention to the shit that really, really makes you feel some kind of way that happens outside of you, and then you'll be able to make the connection. And this is what it's going to take to reach our authentic selves, because your authentic self just might be something that resembles something that you had really strong judgments about prior to awakening. So if your authentic self is something that you once viewed as wrong, bad, demonic, evil, any of that, and this was the case for me, my authentic self was to use all forms of spirituality to help other people and to help myself. But a lot of those tools and modalities and belief systems I viewed as evil, wicked, demonic, and bad. So my authentic self was being contained inside of my own judgment. So in order for me to cross over from the Christian prophet to who I am now, I had to be able to release the judgment of using those tools and modalities, and it allowed me to step more into my authentic self. Did I pay a price for it? Yes. Did I upset some people? Of course. I'm sure I did. But at the end of the day, I can sleep at night knowing that I am reaching my highest potential, and I am searching for the parts of myself that I love and whatever conditioning that I was born into this world to experience. And as you do that, you will sacrifice some things, but it's worth it because you're no longer forfeiting the essence of who you came here to be just on the strength of how a handful of people may react to it. So I wanted to share this because we want to go deeper into the surviving religion and finding your authentic self, and I just want you to remember what I'm saying to you, that your authentic self, for those of you who are like, I'm having a hard time really communicating with my higher self and communicating with my spirit guides, which are different aspects of you, different kingdoms and energies and consciousness that live inside of you, right? And so if you're having a hard time making a connection with the unseen parts of you and the other extensions of source, that it may very well be because you have some subconscious programming that still sees some of those things as harmful, wicked, evil, demonic, judge, and your judgments of that is keeping you locked out from stepping more fully into your light and to who you came here to be. So, you know, I hope that this helps somebody. But, yes, y'all, the Age of Aquarius is supporting us with the energy of Maya, truth and balance, so that we can find our authentic selves. And you know what's so beautiful about stepping into your authentic self? You filter out the things that just don't align with where you're going. The more authentic you are, that shit is like a Brita filter. And it removes so much that it's just water. You couldn't even see it, right? But the Brita filter is just constructed in a way that's going to catch it. And you open it and look at it, and you're like, yo, it's crazy that all of that was in the water I had been drinking. And so that's what it's like. So, yes, you may lose some things and let go of some things. But remember, like, you're being filtered. You're becoming more pure, more authentic, more sovereign, more walking in your divinity, however that looks. And so you can't lose. You cannot lose. When you are finding your true self, you can't lose nothing because your true self is everything. And that is the point of attraction for everything else. So when you seek God first, the divinity, the essence of source inside of you, they came into this world to have an experience and bring something to this world only you can bring. When you tap into that part of you, everything else will follow and things will begin to work themselves out because you're in alignment with your authentic energy. I'm full. So much more to share. So go to the website. Like, we really dive deep. We dive deep. And for those of you all who like to dive deep too, you know, for those of you all just now awakening, we got a lot of stuff for you too. Like, we really try to include as much of the collective awakening as possible. So check the website at remnantsgathering.com. Don't bring your judgments. Leave your judgments somewhere else because, you know, we created this to be a sacred space to not bring that. That's why we welcome all people. And when we're on our lives and stuff, we vibe with everybody because people need a space to practice their authenticity without the worry of being judged, you know, ostracized, outcast, all those things. So that's why we created the space that we did. It's a very sacred space. And just bringing judgment into that space is just not going to be tolerated. It's not going to be beneficial for nobody. It's toxic. And the world cannot change. We cannot be the architects of the new earth unless we begin to detox the things that have kept us oppressed, enslaved, and repeating the unnecessary cycle. Man, your third eye has just been kissed. Peace.
Beautiful, you guys. For you guys, you know, pretty much everything that she said, you know, no need to expound on anything. What she said, that was it. Since we were talking about the demiurge, a lot of us may not understand the terminology of certain things, but I'm going to allow Bobby to break it down too, just because we mentioned it in the podcast. I'm going to allow Bobby, where the fuck he go? Hold on, y'all. All right.
We'll get into that particular aspect. I want to ask you this now, because you mentioned this, the orishas here are part of the demiurge.
Yes.
Now, a lot of these brothers walk around and want to tap into the orishas.
Yes.
So, are you saying the orishas are
on
outside?
Yeah, let me give you a brief history of that. Mm-hmm. You got Oda Jumali, who is his father, who is supposed to be the father, but he's more of a father of the astral plane. Led by Ogun, Obatala, Chango, have their hands on creating this earth. It shuttles you out a little bit, but they have their hands on creating the earth. And in the concept of that, there's some creation deities that are in opposition for them creating the earth. It's the same biblical story of, let me give you an example, the biblical story of Satan and his thorn saying, we're not going to bow down to man. You see what I'm saying? And God saying, you need to bow down to man. It's really a deeper story than that. We just get the etiquette myth, but if you get a greater mythology, that the Jews have now, that lot of stuff. There's one, there's a book by the name of Rappaport on the legend of Israel, and there they have an extended version of this thing. And you find out in actuality this was a cosmic drama that's being played between Satan and his angels and stuff. And the reason why they didn't want to bow down to man in this particular thing is a greater story. They didn't want to become man, so they were rejecting becoming into a physical body. So bowing down was, oh, get used to it, humble yourself, and be our slaves. But so,
sorry guys.
Just remember, we not that. We gods of light, but they had to get used to this particular physical body. It's the same thing happening in the Soviet Union. The one you want to get is a good plan. Good and evil. That's the name of this thing. It's called Good and Evil in Europe. I said it on some of the things. It's a book by a guy who's dead now by the name of Margie. And in there, they talk about this struggle between these gods that don't want to be in the human form. And they go to battle with a Lebron who created this particular earth for them to be into. And as a result, the Lebar and them ultimately win. It's the same story, which makes the Lebar and them be genuine. So if you want metaphorically, you compare this with the Titan story, or the Titans not wanting to be cast down, but Zeus cracked them with an arrow and burned them up and then used their ashes to make man. You see what I'm saying? Those Titans are pristine deities that rule the universe prior to the younger group of deities who are surrounded in deities that want to create this box job wonder world for themselves by using the older material to trap them down in this day. So it's the same thing, it's the same generic material. I would say one of the, so there's several myths, but one of them would be the Titan myth. You see, one would be the Gnostic myth and all of it. Even the Egyptian myth in the coffin text. In the coffin text, they talk about Ra being old and feeble. He invites all the gods to dinner and swallows them all up. So let me tell you, how can you swallow all the gods? It's the same story of basically taking these advanced entities, inviting them to dinner, and eating them up, which means in actuality, you trap them into the realm of the physical and slow down the vibration rate or the vibratory rate to trap these gods in the physical. We got one little piece that survives in the carpet text. The other piece that gives you the indication that something happened was Ra overthrowing Apep, the great dragon, our former, the great mother. But then again, you have the pre-dynastic mythology going up into Babylon and surviving where Marduk defeats Tiamat, the great dragon or the great mother, and used her blood to make the earth, her husband's blood, Tengu, to make humans. So we're still talking about a pristine ancient deity being trapped in these physical forces by some younger entities, our children. You see what I'm saying? Our particular children. Going back to this, because all this stuff going back, you got to know about the demiurge and know about the death and know why we're trapped and know what happens after you die in the pitfalls. So, and so it's the same story. In East India, there are the Asuras, these pristine deities, that are more superior than the Devas. But the Devas somehow trick the Asuras to lose their foothold on the earth and turn them into demons afterwards. Well, what does it turn into a demon? To turn into the demon is basically being trapped in a physical body. There's no difference between the word demon and human. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Being trapped in a physical body. So the Asuras got trapped and got duped into becoming human by the solar beavers who are their children. You see, who are their children? You see, same concept. Same concept of what's going on. So in so many words, when you die, you meet face to face up with this tragedy again on where your soul is going to go. If you're going to get reincarcerated back down here.
Reincarcerated.
Or is it going to set up the land in the land of the shadows, which is those particular entities that were outside the cycles of time. You see what I'm saying? And was safe not to come back. Now, fortunately, maybe the last 20 years, or at least I know the last 15 years, most of the cycles of reincarnation have been broken. Most of the babies that come to this planet are souls that have been in transition for at least 50, 60, 70, 100 years. So they were in the cycle of transition of already coming back to the planet. But most of the ones now that expire are not trapped into the cycle of reincarnation. In so many words, it's so-called astral life or astral plane. Because one of the words for the demiurge is called plane. So this astral light or this astral plane has a worn thin. It is petered out. It is petered out. You can tell based on the seasons being on.
They love the fucking distraction. All right, you can go ahead and talk. I'm putting that on the calendar. Demiurge, we don't have that on the calendar, but we need to go deeper into that because this month alone, the Demiurge have been coming up to study the Demiurge, and I have not done it, but I got it now. Go ahead.
That's why it's a familiar tongue. We speak with a familiar tongue. We didn't speak with words that'll have us blindsided. We'll have things that say, dang, I'm supposed to be reminded. Something's reminding me to go into this. And
Now
that's key. You know? You get closer to the layer like a circus. Mary has to go around. Mary is known as your Virgo energy. So when you get a gut instinct, a belly instinct, your thoughts are saying, dang, this is what's moving me. I need to go into what's keeping me moving. So just like what the sister was saying, if you know it's benefit for you, the ancestors are going to reward you. If you know it's not benefiting you, then the ancestors are going to reward you differently. And you're like, why is it happening to me? Because you ain't listening. And so it's the purpose of not just listening and hearing what's being told, you know, because we could say, I know it already. What if you know it and it's different, though? They're going to say you know it already? First, you got to know what you don't know. So you can now know what you do know. That's how it works. Whenever you search for something, you don't just come up with a vague answer, do you? And say, let me put it in Google. And guess what? You're going to get a vague response to your question. Because you're not giving the Google questions. You're giving the Google answers, and it's responding to how you want it to be answered to you. That's the same way with I was looking at Avatar, right? And they were talking about, there's a woman there. She tells the fortune, right? And she was like, at the end of the day, it was like, yo, I don't know if she's telling the truth or she's lying. So they did one test on her and found out she was giving them what they wanted. And she was like, they was like, yo, you're not really telling us. You're not really giving the future, are you? And they was like, are you just giving them what they wanted to hear? And then she was like, to be honest, yes. And that's what future telling is for us. Some of us don't realize the fortune teller starts to give you what you wanted to hear. So now, is it really a fortune you're getting? Because really, you could have told yourself this. And you could have made it better than what the fortune teller told you. So sometimes we do run into what I just gave you, the augmented reality, which we call it the AI or the artificial reality happening. So someone will give you a surreal. One day a man is going to meet you, and he's going to be wearing a white flower. And that's the one you should marry. Now, if someone give you that ultimatum already, don't go by that ultimatum. Figure out how is the ultimatum. What makes me know I got to marry this dude? You know what I mean? Maybe you just telling me something and I'm just going by it, you know? So when we make up our realities, do we augment the reality? Do we make up our own artificial intelligence to that reality? There are steps to everything. That's how the pyramid got built. It was through steps. That's why the stair-step pyramid was the first pyramid. You look at the secrets of Saqqara tribe, the secrets of Saqqara's tomb. And Saqqara represents Sarah. So the Saharan desert, Saqqara, that whole connection of how that was the desert that we destroyed as a man being ego. So when we're being too egotistical as a man, we can destroy things. So now, I can go into woman now. Being too egotistical as a woman, you create man construction. And what I mean by that is when we think of man, man has became as is known as mechanics. And so we say machine. So when we say machina, some of us think man is a machine, and they act and walk and talk and do like machines do. However, it's not that. It's the idea that we have a different in emotions. Yours is inside, ours is outside. So we're now learning that we got to be two different types of men for the woman. And this is where you get the man's best friend and the dog. But see, the dog represented the dog star or the Betelgeuse. We done called it and Anubis and Pooh. Like a diamond is a woman's best friend, a man is a dog's best friend. But this dog is a woman. The dog that we're talking about is a feminine woman. See, when they said dog, we didn't know what they were talking about. But we just like, oh, what do you mean man's best friend is a dog? Okay, I get it. No, you don't. And besides, what? Why just a regular dog? You got grass. Do you call it regular grass? Maybe if you weren't attached to it, you would call it regular grass. That's why most people cut out all their grass and then find out, why did I cut out all the grass? Because I want to get rid of the weeds. But the weeds are in with your grass. So you know what's the difference between your weeds and your grass? That's going to be this reality that we're pulling out. Because we'll say all these people are bad, or all these women are bad, all these men are bad. We stereotype them. When you find out, you talk to your ancestors, you sit back, like how they said with the Obatala, you want to know how your unified field is working. Well, everything that's going to attract you, the secret laws of attraction, everything is going to work for you and your benefit when you attract it. So if it's not in your benefit, you still attracted it. It's just how did you make it your intent towards your attraction. Now it's a difference. You could always say, this water is going to be bad for me. But if you make that your attraction, that's your intent. So now you do got to be mindful. When we go up to the water well, and as Jack and Jill went up the hill, they didn't give you just a story. They gave you a constellation. That eye, which is the water, is a bull's eye. So when they're going up there to get the water, that's just like Moses going up to Sinai to really connect to his earth sign. His constellational sign would be Moses as a bull. But if we would look upside in the sky and we say, okay, well, let's use this calf leg as a dipper. And I know they said it was a fox. And I know it was a bear. But we're going to call it a dipper. So now everybody got their own interpretation of how the stars are to themselves. So when you come into your reality and you say, oh, shoot, that looks like a Big Dipper. And someone else said, no, that's the actual wolf sign. Wait a minute. Is that wolf sign the same way to find out about the cow that's next to the wolf? Oh. So wait a minute. These animals aren't animals. No, they're not. They're zodiacs. The zodiacus. It's a wheel. It's a heaven and earth, just like there's a heaven in the sky. So only thing that we've done to ourselves is made hell to our heaven. So now a dog can be a pit bull. You ever notice? Look online right now. From here on down, 2017, there was like a big wide scale pit bulls attacking people. You're like, why is a pit bull attacking people? It's in their blood. We was taught animals to be like animals. So now we're mad about animals being animals. How many people say that I do pit fights with my dog, you know? So when they said the Michael Vick thing was something, no, it was actually the part of what they saw they wanted to do, and then we started doing it. And now they're saying, oh, I'm going to burn you worse because you're doing what we are doing. And now you say, well, that's not fair. It is fair. It is fair in this world of what we call my eye without seeing it as balance. So you're supposed to be balanced in the world, not imbalanced in the world. You ain't supposed to get these dogs fighting up each other so that once the dog got blood in his mouth, you know what it's like to bite people. So now all he wants to do is just bite somebody at the end of the day. If somebody takes the blood all their life, all they know is blood. That's Sekhmet. That's why the Demiurge is spoken. The Demiurge still represents what Sekhmet will do. But Sekhmet also represents the mother, how the mother started out the child. So if the mother started out the child wrong, which ain't really wrong, it's just a left. Now, what I mean by that is you take three lefts, you're going to equal one right. Take three rights, you're going to equal one left. It could be something that you're doing, your past, your present, and the near future, and now it makes sense to you. And now it takes somebody all them three times to figure it out, which that's the Maya and the three. That's why we do have to learn our heart. How much of heroic things do you do or non-heroic things? It's why Heru or the Horus is fighting Anpu or Anubis day and night, night and day. You be acting different from that nighttime than you do when you're in the daytime. And then you give out certain things you promised somebody in the daytime, but you take it back at night. So this is how the dark night comes into existence. This is how we notice that our nobility even has to be at night as it is in the day. That's why the dog can't be just dogging people. The dog got to become a canine, or otherwise he'd become nervous. People, things around him, what is he doing? You know what I mean? You get it with a dog, you get fleas aspect. Now you want to flee from him, dog type, doggish thing. So this is why the names of Kaffir, Negro, that whole, they got Negrotude, Negrophilia, Negrophobia. So now that I can label an animal a human, but this human ain't even human, it's humankind. So now it's okay to dog your god. It's okay to even eat your god, because we got the god as a battle of you hungry. When you're hungry, what do? You feed yourself. But now what if it was just food for knowledge? Would you still be hungry? I get it. You will. However, when your mood changed, though, you might say, you know what, instead of eating this fried food, I think I'm going to eat something that's not fried today. See, when you eat stuff like that, your body already is deteriorizing it like Mutt does. So if it's already like death, why put death in your body? If anything, you want to put life in your body. Because you put death in your body, guess what your body going to do? It's going to shut down. It's going to show a death mode for a minute. It's going to go into Mutt stage. It's going to go into like you've been mummified. That's why the dog had to be next to the man. Because he's saying that, oh, shoot, the man ain't even got his senses like I do. So the nose, I got to have this strong nose that he is. So I got to be the representation of that bull in a different way, the earth sign in a different way. I got to show him how I navigate through the earth so he sees how I survive. Maybe he'll pick up these characteristics. This is why your animals, your instincts of your insects are around you. You just didn't tap into it yet. So, yeah, you do got to sit down, do some shadow work, find out, oh, shoot, that's why I don't like mosquitoes. Because it's you. It's an example of yourself. But, yeah, you've been biting everybody, sucking up their blood and going off, going to the next one. Don't know it. So when you walk in a room, it's like, yo, can I get a napkin? Like, dang, you just got in the room. Now you're here taking stuff. Can you bring something? Usually when you bring people to the table, they usually have something with them so that they look like they're not taken from the table. Or they might even have their own food because they might not eat the same food you eat at the table. Yet this is the showing us how we're independent and not so dependent of one another. Some of us really expect some of us to feed each other until our dying day. Some of us get air in our tire, right, as a child. And as we grow up, we never put air in our tire. It's not to poke fun at no one. It's to look at ourselves better. Get into what you're not into so that you get better at it. Now you could be into it. You might not have known you could be into it, you know. I had someone push me in a bicycle, and they said, here, learn how to ride. They pushed me. I said, no, that's not why I don't want to do it that way. and I try to put my feet, put your feet on the pedals. I can't trust it because I'm still trusting the floor, the ground. So they put me on a mountain and they push me down. I said, oh, my gosh. Now I got no choice but to take my feet off the ground because the ground moving faster. So I took my feet off the ground. Next thing I know is on the pedals. At first, I had my feet out because I, you know, I got to trust myself first before I trust this thing I'm on. And then I put my feet up there. And then I realized, oh, this feels great. I like the wind. I like this new velocity that I'm running, this new balance. Oh, now I got to be aware of crashing. So I got to figure out how to slow this down. Where's the brakes? How do I turn this? You know what I mean? So whenever somebody's going through any of those things, give them the basics before you go on, hey, let's learn how to fly. Get up in the plane and let's ride. No. Because then it still wanted to push me. Guess what? I didn't learn anymore after that because it was pushing me. I got what I needed. It had to take me at least 3 years later after all the pressure, after all the, oh, you don't know how to ride a bike. Oh, you scared and blah, blah, blah. Then when I got over the fear, hit a bike, and I was so determined, I got on the bike and I rode it. I didn't even know I was, like, I had this as a crutch. Some of us will put a crutch on our own self. And that's the idea of finding what your crutch is, right? Because you was walking with that one extra leg. Take that crutch off and see how you can be like the Forrest Gump and knock these little mechanical mechanics that's on the body that woman has gotten comfortable with. So they put a mechanical being instead of a man next to her. So when she comes out of her profession, she could still have her confession of herself and not be abusive to her man, not be abusive to herself, not be abusive to her baby. Man don't have to be abusive to himself. Don't have to be abusive to his woman and be abusive to his baby or any animals that's around him. See, we've lost touch of nature because nature is still around us. We are not in touch with nature, though. Look how many people walk out right now, oh, bug, and run back in the house. I said, God dang, you bigger than the bug itself. So you're going to let the bug outweigh your thoughts? That's why it's important for, like the sister said, learn all your senses. Is that bug making you comfortable? Is that bug making you uncomfortable? And when you feel that, when does it happen? When you see it, when you didn't notice it was there and it popped up, because that might be a psychological thing. See, I had this woman, she said, when a friend of mine called me, I ain't like him. He called me and I already was agitated before I could pick up the phone. And then I heard it was the phone. And then I looked and it was his number. I was like, dang. So your senses were kicking in before it got there, which is you're going to tap into this other world. It's helping your senses get higher and heightened because you want that conscience to be there. So whenever these situations unfold, it will kick in like Spider-Man with the Spider-Man senses. You have it. We call it Obatala. We call it unified field. We call it the unified theory. We call it the eight. We call it the op wave. We call it Patah, going into the room of a door, right, where the Geb is the actual door, but you have to get judged by 10, which is the whole reason why Obatala has to be there from 8 to 9 to 10. Now, 8 represents you going to an arc wave of energy, 7 chakras, 7 waves, 7 rays. You're waking up, Snow White, and now that you're there, what kind of reality is unfolding in front of you? Is it artificial reality, or are you creating your reality? Because it could still be a surreal reality. It might not be as real as you want it to be. So now you're looking for fake imitations to be real. Like, I do want the best of us to be around us. However, the best of us ain't going to always be in us when it's around us the whole time. Some of us might just push it to the side, and I don't want to do that right now. I'm going to go and get into this alcohol, do some little low vibration, and feed off of that. Now, when people do that, that's still food for thought. So when they say, oh, I don't know why my world is not working the way I want it, well, look what you're putting in your body to cause it to not be the way you want it. If you're looking at just as bad as you take a dump, how important is it to take the dump? Are you feeling good when you take the dump? When you use that bathroom, because this is where a pep is, when you use that bathroom, this is also where Sagittarius is, Sekhmet. When you use that bathroom and poo, because it got to get the bowels out, when you're using the bathroom, is it smooth? Is it rough? Is it taking you forever to do it? All of those are accountable. If you're eating right, it should flow right. If you're eating left, it's going to show how left it is and how left is up in you. Constipated concentration. I can employ this all day to everyone. Does not mean that everybody's going to catch what I'm saying. And I'm not saying I'm an expert either, still learning as I'm going along. And whether it be mentally, physically, or spiritually, We have to apply ourselves as the apple was. The apple could have been a fungi. The apple could have been a mushroom. Psychologically, we know that we're going to get enhanced by what we eat, as food being the thought. So what's coming out of us is also that. When you see that you take a dump that somebody else would eat or put in their grass and becomes fertilizer, there must be something valuable even in your shit. But if you're not valuing that, then this is why you don't value too much of stuff that's around you. And so this is why we have to get into the shadow work. What do you value? You might not value your mother and your father as you thought you was. You might have to start saying, you know what, since my mother and my father acting up, I'm going to give them some good harmony. That's what we could start doing. Like for my dad, like I was saying, he calling me, but he ain't saying, look, I know I slipped up. I probably slipped up a couple other times. We're going to make this day that we do pool today or whatever day, what you want to do. And for me, I had to write down one day he's going to say that, you know, give somebody the optimistic. I get it about the positive. Give somebody the optimistical side, not the gullible positive, because we can say positive so much that it could be negative. Optimistic is more or less, and it might be just me choosing the word, optimistic is more or less keeping that still outcome on a better environmental thought, so that whether it was positive or negative, you still feel good about the situation. Like if your car broke down, you're not going to say, damn, my car broke down. No, you're going to say, whew, good thing nobody get hurt. Go into the other realm that we usually don't see, in the world but not of the world. That's how you know you got God-like entity energy around you all the time. And when you're converging that, now that's your other worlds that's around you, giving Jupiter the abundance versus limitization. You know what I'm saying? You could use your planets, not Mars always on the attack, but looking for how the peace is so everyone gets one as a whole versus attacking. You know what I mean? So when we're in March, Aries, Janus, Aries, February, Aries, March, well, all those 3 months are really dealing with Mars energy. So we got to really look at that. Uranus energy. See, I said Uranus is Janus, Aries. You look at that word, it says Uranus in there. That's why it's there. They put words so that it has a meaning. However, the interpretation could be different. And because we can see it differently, now you could get empowered by the energy versus saying, oh, all these words are bad. Well, in the beginning was the word, W-H-I-R-R-E-D, not word, W-O-R-D, that most people think that that's how it go, because I just heard this brother say it to a brother yesterday, an elder saying it to his son. Like, in the beginning was the word, son. He wanted to shut him down because he had the unk on his neck. But that same unk on his neck, he was pointing to the unk on the wall. So this brother want to give him some wordplay that stuff ain't even real. That Jake, somebody wrote down to make that a wordplay. So in my mind, I had to say, okay, I'm going to let him go on what he got to say because he's talking to his son. But then I thought about it. I said, no, I can't let him walk all the way completely out without me saying, what is the truth behind that? The truth is, it's called W-H-I-R-R-E-D. And I had to say that to him because in his reality, he's given his son an augmented reality that he's been living in the whole time, an artificial reality. So now it is up to me to speak what I know as origin to his, what he thinks as truth. Now, the only problem is he might want to be combative of me, but he wasn't. He was quiet. He listened. As I said, it's a word. It's a weird, W-H-I-R-R-E-D, and world, W-O-R-L-D. Now, most people, you hear it, your word is your world. I get that too. But then when I look up the word weird, I say, wait a minute, this word weird, it sounds weird. But now when I hear it, word, weird, it almost sounds the same. So that's how the word could be even that sound. It's just how it's written is different. Yet weird, or word, W-H-I-R-R-E-D, it means sound. So these people were actually getting in tune with their sound before they actually got in tune with the actual original written of a word. A duck quacks. A dog barks. You know what I mean? So if we know that the sound, like a baby says, ah, mama says, ah, ah, daddy says, mm-hmm, whoever, you're connected to sounds first. That's why when they said, the caveman said, they wanted to make it sound like he's primitive. But that's primary. Our sound is primary. E equals MC squared. E equals mass times weight times height. But if you don't have value or volume, it don't amount to nothing. So that's sound. How much sound do you impact? Do you say it loud or do you say it low? Hardly anybody can hear you. Monotone even. Yet that monotone is what people get hypnotic by. So that's why when you got people on the radio, disc jockey, they got that heavy voice and they start speaking and you're like, oh, shoot, I like that brother's voice. And he's speaking. He got that root. So we're learning is really your root chakra that we're getting to. What's good? What's bad about your root chakra? And how do you pierce through that in all of your other chakras? Because they're talking to you. Your senses are applied to your eyes, your ears, your nose, and your mouth. And if you fear anything, that's going to be the first deception from your perception. So you got to go through perception, deception. You know, we did this before. Conception, because that's how birth starts, right? So from conception to this deception, you thought it was duality. And now here's your perception showing you that this trinity is a little different from what you, your inception, because that's your birth, right? From your conception to your deception or your perception. Now you got to see your, what's your reception, your reciprocity. How does it work for you? And that's just five of the steps. There's also an interception and an interception. The interception is when somebody grabbed it, gave you the false identity, you took it, and you ran with it. So at 20, you say, I'm going in the military. But then you realize, I'm fighting my peoples. I don't need to be fighting these people. So at 30, you're saying, no, I ain't fighting my peoples no more. So this is the reception to the interception to the interception. Your inner had to kick in. So in your seventh chakra or your seventh thought of now waking up, your inner says, you know what? This stuff ain't meant for you, bro or sis. You don't need to be doing this no more. And then you're going to either be sick or your body's going to react differently. You're going to rebel. You might cut your hair or you might grow your hair. I don't know what it is that you end up doing in a rebellion state. But this is what we did as teenagers. So we didn't realize when they said Teen Clash of the Titans, we didn't know we were going to go against the gods. But your gods is your mama and your daddy. But they didn't never tell you that. It just says the Greek terminology. When you think outside of Greek, you're a barbarian. Okay, well, now I don't want to do anything that's outside of that. I'm going to just stay in my boundary. Well, that's a box. And you've been boxing yourself since pugilist, known as a prize fighter. And then he became a boxer. This is where the clothes became underwear. Superman, all these people, they're wearing underwears. They're not wearing some high-tech technology. They wear leotards, tight stuff. When you look at Olympics, they're all wearing tight stuff. They want you to fascinate on their bodies, not their intelligence, on their bodies. So when someone says, oh, I'm an athlete, okay, that's good. But how intelligent are you? That don't make you a genius because you're an athlete. You run the track, okay, that's good. You shooting the ball, oh, yeah, that's great. But now what after that? What do you do after that? You know what I'm saying? You got to do more than that. You athletic in a way of being a genius. That's when you like, okay, the analogy of my genius side has to kick in because maybe I was downplaying myself by fitting in to be accepted. Not everybody has to be accepted by what you're doing. Your calling might be different from what everybody is accepting. What is going to be the outcome is you stay determined in what you're doing so that the outcome can be even greater. So you might have all these people that want to give you a demonstration of what they're doing, so you get distracted and think of what you're doing as less. If you are not healing on yourself, then yes, you're following the wrong crowd. You got to work on self-healing, then revealing. If you ain't doing no self-healing, all you're doing is getting around and being a part of the acceptance of what the crowd is doing. Maybe you didn't know what to do to heal. And I get that too. You got to observe first, as the sister said. Observe, and what works for you, absorb. Then when you absorb it, go on and do it. Do you. You a doer, not just a non-doer. You tilling the earth right now. So from the bulls that's out there, go out there and till the earth like you're supposed to. Look, I'm on overdrive right now. I'm one of these overdrivers right now. They call us the hard workers or the working bee. So as like when I do overdrive, I'm saying I basically work all 5 days harder than I did the last 5 days. And then on those 2 days, I'm going to take my immediate energy back. Because I need my energy back replenished. I'm not giving nobody none of my energy while I'm doing that, though. So that's why people could look at me, oh, you selfish. The hell I am?
I'm giving you 5 days or something. You don't even give people 5 days. And it ain't like the last 5 days. So you might have came to me last week and said, can you do something for me? I said, yeah, all right. And then here come the next week, and I actually get it done. The other person might say, can you do this next week? Yeah, sure. And then you come to him and say, well, where is it? Oh, I forgot. I'm going to get it done next week. Oh, see, now I can't rely on you. This is what's going on with our contracts. You are a contraction of birth. So you got to start putting some regimens to yourself. Today, I'm going to work out. You see what I'm saying? Don't condition yourself. If you're working out right now at work and you say, okay, well, when I get off work, I'm going home, I'm going to go party, and I'm going to lay it down. The next day, I'm going to go home and I'm going to go party, I'm going to lay it down. You doing all this partying? That's conditioning yourself. There is no training in that, all right? You're allowing. You're not training. You're allowing. And there's a difference on your allowance. Your allowance becomes finance, romance, all these other things. So when you open these doors, like they said, from the cherubim and the seraphim, they don't need anything from each other. But they both are working on the earth to apply the earth. Now, you want to give something to the cherubim, but the cherubim like, I'm a high god. I don't need none of that low stuff, vibrational stuff you eat. I'm good. I don't even need that. So it's like a point that some of us could become self-independent and some of us are dependent. And when we notice that we're being dependent, we got to kind of like lighten up so we can be independent. And some of us are so self-independent, we got to loosen up so that we can give somebody else that when you want to be so hard in the paint and you can't do it, and yet you want to do it because it's your responsibility. You just don't trust nobody. Sometimes you got to loosen up a little bit. So that's why the partying is in there. But it's not to stay in the party. That's a party pooper too. Come on, let's party. Let's party. We just got paid. Wait a minute, bro. I got to get diapers. I got to get this. This is material stuff. And it's material, but what you're doing is also material. And it doesn't help my matter, though. So now I do got to look at who's responsible. Do you have any brothers or sisters? You never had any brothers? Did you ever babysit them? Did you, as a brother or sister, go get diapers for your sister? Oh, that's right, because you're thinking, I'm the aunt. I ain't got to do that. Oh, see how you put yourself in one category and don't want to help out the others? When that house is burning, who's going to help that house burning? Because now your house burning. Now who's going to help you? Oh, that's right. You ain't help nobody. So go on and let your house burn down. So that's what we're doing. We got to start learning village life. Everything around us is about village life. And if you're not seeing that, you're blind. You're going to have to start opening your eyes up. People are passing away right now. I had too many right now. So far, every time I get up here, somebody's like passing away. My cousin, friend, aunt, uncle, great aunt, great, great. You know, I'm like, dang, I didn't even think about that person. Friend. I can stress that out. Friends, older friends, younger friends. It don't even matter what age they are. So it is what matters is that how you learn from them when they pass. Because they are a stepping stone for you to learn from. They're not just wiped away. They're still here. Their soul body is here. Their spiritual body is here. So when you say, oh, I miss them, I get it. You do miss them. But now, go on to not miss them. Because you can still not miss them. You can sit here, put something that reminds you of them closer to you so you won't have to just, oh, I miss them. I'll never connect. You can connect. What's their favorite flower? You know what I mean? Or write their name down. Put it on your altar. When you go to Asia, this is still Asia here too. So if you think you got some friends over here, hey, y'all come on over. We're going to do a ceremony in my yard. Bring your incense, you know, your homage to your ancestors. We can put it all on one little scoop, and we can bond that drink. That's what's missing in our groups. Now, I don't know what everybody's doing. I'm still working on the grouping. So I don't know what everybody's doing. I'm not going to look in there and see if you're doing the right thing either. God didn't have to do that because you got a godly thing in you. So now you should be doing it whether the guy walk in the room or not. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Not, oh, here he come. Everybody act like you. No, no. That's you being fake. You being phony. If we got to get around you and you feeling all up-notch and you got to feel like you got to put your pants to tuck in your shirt, then we ain't being real with you and you ain't being real with us. Because sometimes we got our pants untucked and our shirt out and stuff like that. So we ain't got to always. The shirt, the clothing don't even is us. It's not even us. That's just clothing. If you could see me in my heart, then you ain't got to worry about what my clothing look like. That's how our impression should be. Our impression is that's how we impress in each other. And the more you can put your age out without feeling like an age, but yet ageless, You doing what's the past showing us for eternal life. You showing us that we eternity can be. You showing that heaven on earth. That's why Midgard is right here in front of us. We are the opportunists, but we don't have to stay that way. We are the alchemists. So you know how to alchemize things. Start grabbing stuff, alchemize it. Make it more creative. Be creative in your own sound, your own mind, your own rhythm, your own flow. And if you run out of the rhythm, you run out of the flow, run out of the sound, go to someone else next to you. You'll get it all.
Oh, thank you. Are you talking, is that your wrap up? That's it?
No. I was just saying, so you could go ahead.
Okay. All right, guys. Thank you, guys. Definitely appreciate you guys. This has been a great podcast. We definitely appreciate you guys for tuning in. As always, guys, thank you. That's pretty much it, guys. All that in a nutshell, guys, be the alchemist. You know, here's the thing, guys. Being fixed is very dangerous. You know what I'm saying? Being fixed is very dangerous, guys. Again, every zodiac sign, every energy center in which we have incarnated into this realm with, you know, has to balance, you guys. So I know that being fixed on certain things has, you know, worked well for many of us in the past. But, you know, guys, even with myself, you know, it's like a lot of the shit that we used to do just is just not working no more. We try so very hard to, you know, try to get it to still work, you know, when it doesn't. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's all I have. And as I'm shopping now, you know, just however you Elegba, that's who's calling me. That's who's calling me right now. So that's who just called me right now. So just do it how you do it, guys. You know, I always say do it how you do it. You know, only you know best. You know what I'm saying? And with that, we'll let Eternal take us out.
You're a moment in time, so your time is your moment. So how do you commit to it? How do you create in it? Is to be without judging. And I know that could be hard for us. But the way we've learned from the beginning, I had an elder come to me and said, well, we started out as sin. We started out as negative. We started out as the sinner. I was like, hold on. No. We started as the moon. That's known as sin. The sin is known as moon.
Hey,
you can look it up. Moon is known as sin. So if you start out with emotion, now you want to call that negative because it's not attached to you. See, anything that's not attached to you, you can call negative. However, now that it's not attached to you, can you feel your positive even out of there negative? That's what coexisting is about. We're learning how to coexist. The mushrooms that's on this earth coexist with the plant. The plant on this earth coexist with the minerals. The minerals on this earth coexist with the animals. The animals coexist with us. And then we supposed to coexist with, something happened right there. So now we have to really go back and say, okay, wait, let's retract, let's rewire, let's reset, because that's what our set is about, learning your balance, learning your ma'at. Where is your ma'at at? And once you learn it, ma'at is M-A-A-U-T, M-A-A-T. When you see it, it's M-A-T, like a mat. When it's M-E-A-T, it's meat, right? When it's M-E-T, it's met. So all of these names are the same. They just happen to change it around. Now, since I said change it around, turn it around, you got Tim. Put an S on, you got STEM. That's a team, S-T, steam. All this is still connected to Ma'at. It's just the opposition of it. So that's why when we were just talking about Muta, Muta is Atum. So it's showing you we have an opposition of ourselves, just like every Virgo has a Pisces. Every Taurus, Aries, has a Libra. Every Gemini has a Sagittarius. Every Leo is opposition of it. It has an Aquarius. I named them all. So in that, every Cancer has a Capricorn. So you can't go through just learning your good side self without learning your bad side self.
And it's not your bad side anyway. It's just saying your opposition self. Miss Myra, look at her up. Miss Myra for the astrology. Sanchez Benici, he breaks down a lot, even in the words, how you use Mar. Mar is arm, A-R-M-M-A-R. This stuff, I'm not doing it on my own personal level. So when you say, oh, you talk different. No, the words always been the same. I'm showing it to you. And because that is the issue, now I'm an issue to you. But I'm just like your newest thing right now. It's just new right now, though. It's just temporarily new. You are now the new. That's why you call a new being present. Until we start stamping that on our head, we're still stuck in the past, talk about past stuff and think we're an expert of it. And then when it pops up in front of you as something new, you go, oh, I ain't never seen that before. Well, because you don't know how to identify nothing. At first, you was thinking you'd name everything, so you ain't got to do nothing else, Adam. But that's not what Adam did. Adam is a part of the atmosphere. That's the wrong lettering that you saw. And since you saw it and you overlooked it, you said, oh, I've seen that already. You didn't look good enough. That's how when you walk in that room and say, did you get that that tool I told you, the yellow black handle in the tool shed? Yeah, I looked. Anyway, it's not there. Let me go back in there. If I find it, and then they go find it. I'm like, look, I told you. Did you look hard? No. That's right. It wasn't in the tool shed. It was in the drawer. See, these are the things where you say, dang, I do got to go even what they said. I can't just go by them verbatim. Not all of that's going to be your benefit. Know you as yourself as being truth, and you're going to find it. It ain't going to just pop up. It always been there. And when you see that, don't get mad. Don't get upset. Just realize now you can be humble of how you got it. We call that knowledge. And now pass it on with your wisdom. Ashe? Ashe. Oh, good thanks. Respect. Ashe.
These fantasies since I was 17. Wanted to see your face in every dream. Feeling to feel your presence in everything. My love for you is as deep as the seven seas. There's something about your beauty that can turn refugees into devotees. Heaven's grace in your face I thought I would never see. When my mind was enslaved, you set it free. My heart was enraged, you fed it peace, and let it be. You are everything I'll ever need. I know that all things happen in divine timing. And as the kundalini in my spine rises, on the horizon of my heart I feel divine rising. Divine rising. Divine rising. rise in one's eyes. It is beauty that makes the moon jealous when the sun dies. And your mouth and mind get tongue-tied trying to express the feelings within your confines. And all of these things combine sometimes to make the things inside unwind. It is she that gives meaning to the sunrise and the reason that the sun shines. Divine Mother, Divine Mother, Divine Mother. All glories be unto the Divine Mother. She is the creative force within the universe. She is the beauty in all things. I surrender myself unto your will and your way. All of my thoughts and all of my actions are completely aligned with God consciousness. I seek to learn and know more about myself and my Creator. My dearest divine, I lay myself like petals at your lotus feet. I am purified by your presence. Washed away by the ocean of your existence. I am a being of vital fire. I am the purity God desires. I am the eternal flame that never dies. Mother Kundalini on her rise. I am open to awakening my God state of mind. I seek to know more. Glories unto thee, forgiveness in all things, remarkable of the beauty that you bring, Divine Mother, oh how I wish to know thee.